We're going to turn to Luke chapter 1. We'll be there in a few minutes. As you know, we've been camping out in Hebrews chapter 11 the last few weeks looking at our topic of faith. We're going to continue on the same topic of faith, but look at the birth narrative, Jesus' birth narrative in that topic. And what I'm calling here this morning, Christmas faith. The angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah to announce the birth of his son John. 6 months later, the same angel appeared to Mary to announce the birth of her son, Jesus. Zechariah's response of faith, or lack thereof, differed tremendously from that of Mary. And we can learn much from looking at both of their examples. But first, let me remind you of three key principles that we've already looked at in the last couple weeks in the topic of faith. Number one, faith in Christ is to be of the type that removes uncertainty of any basis. Remember that definition, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. This is not a leap in the faith, leap of faith in the dark, but an absolutely certain faith in God's faithfulness. And that's the key. It's not faith in faith. It's not a wishful hope. But it's not even your ability to believe, but rather a rock-solid trust in the trustworthiness of Christ. God is 100% faithful, therefore I can have faith in Him. Christ is 100% trustworthy, therefore I can place my trust in Him. Number two, this certain faith must be in God's revealed word. In the scriptures. We looked at that last week. The best example, I think, one of the most clear ideas of what faith is creation. And that's why Hebrews 11 starts with creation. We believe that God created all things out of nothing. That's one of the most, in many ways, difficult things to believe. So it begins with an example like that. We can't prove creation scientifically, but we don't believe it because God whispered in our ear during a quiet time. We believe it because God has stated it in His Word. And though that is the area we always look to for this certain faith. And number three, faith is a persevering, lifelong endeavor. We looked last week at the lives of Abel, Enoch, and Noah, and we saw that their faith is not a one-time event. Noah persevered for almost 100 years between the time of the promise and the fulfillment of the promise. That is persevering faith. Now, each of them had came to faith at a point in time, and hopefully all of you as well. That takes place at a point in time. We may not always know exactly when it happened, but it takes place at a point in time. But then the rest of our lives is this persevering, lifelong faith. Now, unfortunately, sometimes our faith wanes over the years. But it ought to be. The biblical ideal is that it's ever growing and persevering. Now in Luke chapter 1, let's first of all read Zechariah's story. Luke 1 verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. For your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Let me give you now, just in bullet point form, a summary of what we know about Zechariah. As you will see, his personal story is what I would say primed for faith. And not only through Lord's sovereignty, he has primed his life for faith, but especially the way Luke tells this story, we're supposed to anticipate this wonderful, faithful response. Just some bullet points here. Zechariah from the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was a descendant of Aaron, so we know both of them have this 1,200-year succession of priests. That is a tremendous genealogy they come from. Verse 6 tells us they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. And how does a person become righteous? Faith, right? You are righteous by faith. We saw Habakkuk chapter 2, Hebrews 10:27, as well as Romans and Galatians say the righteous will live by faith. Zechariah and Elizabeth both possessed saving faith, and they lived their lives by faith. They walked in righteousness. They walked with the God. So they are walking in faith all of their long lives. We also know that Elizabeth was barren. Both were advanced in years. So here is where the miracle set up, right? Humanly speaking, nothing's going to happen. Humanly speaking, they're just going to live out the rest of their lives, and that'll be it. But a miracle is set up here. Also, they were earnestly praying for a child for decades. You notice one of the first things Gabriel says is, your prayer has been heard, a child will be born to you. So all through their years of fertility, Elizabeth was barren, and they were praying for a child, and nothing happened. But here's the cool part. Through her years of barrenness and lack of fertility, they're still praying. What are they praying for? A miracle. They're praying steadfastly and dutifully for a miracle to happen. That's the background. That's a story that's been set up for us. Also, it's not abundantly clear. say, probably more blessed than we are. But think of what we have. We have the complete Word of God in our own language. We have those original languages confirmed with 99.99% accuracy. And these scriptures have been studied for 2,000 years, and its teachings have been applied and tested and found faithful for 2 millennia since Jesus ascended to heaven. Moreover, not only do we have all that as a basis, but we're free to study. We continue to study the scriptures. We are free to believe them. We are free to practice them. We are free to teach them and share our faith, at least most of the time. And in Luke 12, Jesus said this, "Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand more." We have been given much, so much, just to hold this word in our own hands, in our own language, and because of that, much will be required, much is required of us. So if Mary, the mother of our Lord, had the capacity for a faith that deprived uncertainty of any basis, how much more do you and I have the capacity for that same faith? So you cannot say, these scriptures are just too hard to believe. I want to believe, but I need something more. God, you've got to give me some kind of miracle. You've got to give me some kind of external sign. That's the wrong question to ask. That's a dangerous question to ask. She did not hesitate at the prospect of a virgin conception and birth. Now, every time we talk about Mary, and I think evangelicals shy away from Mary, right? You know why? Because of what the Roman Catholic Church has done to her over the centuries. They taught, and I didn't know this for many years, they teach that Mary had her own virgin birth, that she was conceived of a virgin birth. The whole Immaculate Conception, that's not Jesus, that's Mary they're talking about. I didn't know that for like first 30 years of my life. Probably even worse than that, they have elevated to a heretical title of co-mediator with Christ. So they have made her, in essence, equivalent with God himself. So I think in response, and we see a lot of evangelicals are a little bit leery, well, let's not make too much of Mary, because they make too much of Mary. And that is wrong as well. Her childlike faith should be shouted from the rooftops and ought to be a model for every one of us, old and young alike, male and female alike. Tremendous example of faith. And do not forget that her faith was not a short-term thing, because for the rest of her life, practically everyone who encountered her would have considered her an adulterer and a liar. You see? They would have considered her an adulterer and a liar. Mary, how did you become pregnant? Actually, the Holy Spirit did it. Oh, yeah. The Holy Spirit. Right. Do you see? They would have either considered her an adulterer and a liar or insane. Right? Those are the only options available to her. Now, we know for certain Joseph believed her, but that's only because an angel came to him specifically and told him. Did her parents eventually believe? We really have no idea. But no question, the majority of people considered her an adulterer and a liar. So her pregnancy began that, and it certainly carried on for the rest of her life. As we close, let me show you now how Mary's example of faith matches the principles we've already pulled out from Hebrews. And as I review these briefly, here's what I want you to do. Take something in your own life right now. Part of the Word of God that you're struggling to believe. Something God has asked you to do, whether that's a step of faith or a command from the Scriptures, I know they're there. Think about that right now, and I want you to apply these principles to where you're at. Faith in Christ is to be of the type that removes uncertainty of any basis. Don't you see that in Mary's life? Instantly believe Zechariah's word from the Lord. 2, this certain faith must be in God's revealed word in the Scriptures. Now, it wasn't written down in the Scriptures when Gabriel gave it to her, but it was the very word of God. Finally, faith is a persevering, lifelong endeavor. Clearly, all those accusations she would have suffered a whole life, all the way to watching her son die mercilessly on the cross, hers was a lifelong, persevering faith. Can you take that doubt that you're holding right now. It's okay to have those. It's okay to have doubts at times. It's what you do with those doubts that's the key. And can you see them as a verified word of God? Can you take God's word as the sign itself and not need some outside confirmation? Can you do that this morning? Let's pray. Father, forgive us for doubting your word. Forgive us for constantly testing you, disbelieving, sometimes even scoffing at your word, or mere neglecting. Father, these are all about the same when you think about it. Father, increase our confidence in your word. Increase our understanding of your faithfulness and your trustworthiness so that we can put our faith and trust in you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.